WeatherBrains 101 with Professor Peters.
Let me start by correcting a goof in last week's 101 episode. I started by noting that the days were getting longer. Well, this, of course, is not correct. It is the nights that are getting longer and the days getting shorter. Our shortest day comes in late December, so the interest in winter weather is beginning to rise, and especially after the big snowfall in the southern Appalachians over the weekend. A term you'll hear frequently in the winter in some locations is lake effect snow. This is the name given to that set of conditions produced in the winter when cold Arctic wind moves across long expanses of warmer lake water, providing energy and picking up water vapor which freezes and is deposited on the lee shores, typically the east side of the lake. The effect is enhanced when the air is uplifted by the orographic effect of higher elevations on the downwind shores. This uplifting will produce narrow but very intense bands of precipitation with high rates of snowfall each hour and large snowfall totals. Buffalo, New York measured over 82 inches of snow in late December of 2001 during one particularly spectacular lake effect snow event that lasted nearly 4 days. The areas affected by lake effect snow occur in many locations throughout the world, but mostly in the Northern Hemisphere, but probably best known in the populated areas of the Great Lakes between Canada and the United States. If the air temperature is not low enough to keep the precipitation frozen, it will fall as lake effect rain. In order for lake effect rain or snow to form, the air moving across the lake must be cooler than the surface air, which is likely to be near the temperature of the water surface. Specifically, the air temperature at 850 millibars should be about 13 degrees centigrade lower than the temperature of the air at the surface. Since most lakes have irregular shapes, different angular degrees of travel will yield different results. Typically, the distance the air travels over water, or the fetch, must be at least 100 kilometers or about 60 miles to produce lake effect precipitation. As a general rule of thumb, the longer the fetch is, the more precipitation will be produced. Longer fetches allow the boundary layer more time to saturate and for the transfer of heat energy from the water to the air. Cities like Toronto, Hamilton, Detroit, Milwaukee, and Chicago frequently miss out on lake effect events because they are not on the leeward shore of a lake during a northwest wind. But even so, a less frequent easterly or northeasterly wind can deposit heavy snows on Chicago or Milwaukee, much as a northwest or westerly wind does for the opposite side of Lake Michigan. Remember, if you have questions about the weather, send them to question at weatherbrains.com.